Hi, this is Joni Trussell on Pandora's Box, and today I am here with my guest from the Southern Poverty Law Center, Leisha Brooks, who is Director of Outreach. Welcome, Leisha.
Thank you, Joni. Thanks for having me on.
So I thought we could start by you just saying a little bit about what the Southern Poverty Law Center is about.
Okay. The Southern Poverty Law Center is essentially a civil rights advocacy group. We started as a law firm, a civil rights law firm, in 1971, but we've since grown that. We still do civil rights litigation, but we have a project called the Intelligence Project that tracks and monitors hate and extremist groups. And we publish a map, an annual map about the number of active hate groups in the United States called the hate map. And we have another program called Teaching Tolerance. Teaching Tolerance provides free resources to educators, K-12, free across the country.
And you pretty much, when you talk about the population that you're working with, can you say a little bit about like how the diversity of populations that you're addressing around this?
Well, it's probably best described in our legal work, but I should say that through the Teaching Tolerance program, of course, our constituency would echo the demographics of the country. I think it was about a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, children of color outnumbered white children as far as students in K-12 classrooms. But interestingly, the teachers, the vast majority of teachers, upward from 75% to 80% of the teachers are still white females. So it's very much in line with what the numbers used to be in the 1950s. So we help provide them with information that helps them better meet the needs of a increasingly diverse student population. Through our legal work, we have a couple of different practice groups, one being immigrant justice that primarily represents guest workers who are abused by the companies that provide them with a visa. We also have an LGBT rights practice group, and we have had cases where we represented transgender folks and represent children, high school students who are in schools that are anti-LGBT and where they're told that they can't take a same-sex partner to the prom or something like that. We also have a children's rights practice group, and that's kind of a big bulk of our work there, where we're standing up for the rights of children as it relates to the school system, as it also relates to the criminal justice system. So that's a little bit of our work.
Okay. So in that vein, I noticed on your website recently that you have been gathering information and collecting reports of hate incidents or hate speech or I don't know how.
Bias-related harassment.
Yeah. Okay.
We just released our fourth update. Excuse me. No, I say just, I mean today. So our update brings the count up significantly. So what we've been doing is collecting reports of bias-related harassment and intimidation around the country since the election. So this update would span the period of November 9 through December 12. On our website, and folks can certainly go there if they want to report an incident of hate or harassment, it's a hashtag report hate on the splcenter.org website. So we've had a total of 1,094 bias-related incidents in the month following the election. And what has been particularly troubling is, because we can also tell kind of where these incidents happened, and sadly they're happening in K-12 schools, and colleges are the places that are highest hit. Of course, these incidents are also happening in public spaces and workplaces and things like that, but we've been very disturbed about the number of colleges and the number of K-12 schools where these things are happening.
Can you just give us an idea of what one of those incidents might look like?
Well, we've also broken it down, and certainly y'all can visit the website, splcenter.org, and it breaks down the hate incident by motivation. For instance, we've logged 315 anti-immigrant instances of harassment or hate, and 221 anti-black, 112 anti-Muslim, and 109 anti-LGBT. Mm-hmm. And the numbers really, you know, are alarming, but it's really the stories that are heartbreaking. If I could share one short one with you, it says, "Just now, our 14-year-old son walked into our house and informed me that he just experienced his first hate crime. It's dark out, so he was riding his bike on the sidewalk down the street from our house. He sees a man walking in the middle of the sidewalk, so our son says, 'Excuse me.' The man steps to the side and then yells, 'Hey, nigger, next time, get off the bike.' This is a quick walk from our new home, and I am enraged and saddened that someone near us would do that." That happened in Massachusetts.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
what we're hoping to do with this is that kind of really raise the awareness around the fact that this is happening, and really encourage folks to speak out against it. It's each of our responsibility to speak out against, you know, hate and intolerance, and if we do not, then it gives folks the impression that it's okay. Prior to this whole election season, I should say that people who are perpetrating these acts of harassment have been emboldened by the rhetoric that took place during the campaign, and then the success of President-elect Trump. They feel that they can kind of now say things that prior to the last year or so would have been deemed, you know, politically incorrect, if you will, because they're throwing that back up, saying that I'm just saying how I feel. And when you have someone during the campaign who's running for the highest office in the land, saying that, you know, Mexicans are rapists, you know, we got to get rid of Muslims, black people are, you know, live in crime-ridden communities, then, and he wins, it tells people that, well, it's okay to say those things.
So just quickly, I know this is not a quick answer, but if you could just give the listening audience some idea of how we can take some action to counter some of this.
Well, I think that, it's by the individual, because the cases that we have logged are individual things that are happening. So what we're encouraging people to do is to show their support if they witness someone being victimized. If you see someone who's being harassed, or epithets are being, you know, yelled at them, or, you know, if someone's about to pull someone's scarf off their hijab, then you would go over there and show some support to the victim. Just stand near the victim so that they know that they're not alone. Don't engage the perpetrator, but just stand with the victim, and oftentimes that's enough for the perpetrator to back down. In any case, it shows them that they're opposed. Some people oppose what they're saying, and that's an important message to get out. If you're victimized by hate or harassment, we want to make sure that you report it to law enforcement, because it's important that law enforcement know what's happening in the community and who's being targeted, so they can do a better job of protecting those folks. And then if you can, you want to record it and provide that information to law enforcement. Don't engage the perpetrator. Try to make eye contact with someone in the area. Reach out to someone and, you know, walk away and don't say anything.
Okay. So we're out of time, but I just wanted to thank you so much, Lisha, for joining us today and talking about this. It's been really helpful. I've been talking to Lisha Brooks, Director of Outreach for the Southern Poverty Law Center, and you can go on their website, and you could just go to Southern Poverty Law Center, and you can find out all kinds of information. So thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Joni.